Yeah, well, it's my theory that people are who aren't in comedy are actually funnier than comedians.
I disagree.
Mm, well, we'll get into that in the podcast.
That's a good way.
Everybody, I think it's already started recording.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let me just. Oh, okay. We've caught our guest off guard as we do every 2 weeks. We're here, Alan Rutledge, George Pettifer.
Hello.
Must Watch. That's the name of the podcast, in case you wanted to know.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
It's called Must Watch, but you can't watch it.
Yeah. Right? That is funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny when I came up with it.
Do you say this to the... Is this the first thing you talk about to all guests?
Never talked about it before.
We think it's a bit of a mistake now, actually, because...
We hate the name.
We hate the name. It's been a year.
I like the name. And the next year's one's like Must Read.
We could change it each year, is what you're saying. That's a good idea. But then after Must Read... Must Listen would just sound arrogant. We can't have Must Listen.
Must Listen
goes
will be
against
our,
the grain.
Yeah.
Our blog. But we're here with Genevieve Mortimer. Big round of applause, everybody. Studio audience.
Hi.
Genevieve's here. Thanks for being here as our guest.
No problem. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
This is fantastic. Now, you don't know George at all.
Don't know George.
You've just met George.
Met for the first time.
But you and I... Jan, we go back.
We go way back.
What year did we meet?
We're old now, aren't we?
Well, so, you're younger than me, I think.
Yeah, so I'm 32. When did you start comedy? Were you starting when Josh started?
I was around when Josh
started. You already
started. Yeah.
So it would have been about 18. So it would have been almost 15 years ago.
Can't
imagine that.
Feels like yesterday.
Back in the at the back of the sit-down comedy club.
Yeah.
In Brisbane.
When I was a 7-year-old.
Ooh. Is that bragging, isn't it?
I say...
Is that what that is?
My whole life ahead of me.
You're as young as the person you do a podcast with. That's my saying. And that makes me feel young.
So wait a second. That means you're 10 years younger.
Yeah.
So you're 22.
I'm 22, yeah.
It's fine. I don't necessarily want to go back to being 22.
I don't know how to feel because I am 22, so it's
hard. Do you want to go back to when you were 10?
No.
Okay.
No one wants to be a teenager again, do they?
A 10-year-old is a teenager?
No, but you'd have to be a...
I actually liked being a teenager.
Oh, really?
I didn't have those ebbs and flows of a teenager's...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I sort of looked at everyone and was like, just calm down.
Yeah, you're the straight-away adult. Telling people how to, nice. Okay.
I wasn't telling anyone how to do it. I was just thinking. I was like, that's not a big deal.
Well, you were best friends with Josh Thomas.
Mm.
And I was an acquaintance of Josh Thomas.
You were colleagues, weren't you?
Professional colleagues. And Tom Ward as well.
Yes.
You were a little crew.
We were a crew, yeah, back in high school days and uni.
And that was it? That was just the three of you? Or was it a bigger group than that?
Well, Adele Cummings.
Oh, yes.
And then obviously people came and go. But that was a bit of a core. There was a core trio, I think. But I don't know. We never defined ourselves as a crew.
Right.
And Josh Thomas, of course, is now in Los Angeles.
He's in LA. I think next week he starts filming his new show called It's All Gonna Be Okay.
Oh, nice.
Seems it's a similar vein, I think, the name to Please Like Me. I think you can tell.
Yeah, it's a...
It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, right.
And I'm, of course, doing a podcast called Must Watch with George and Alan. And so...
We've all had our own journey.
Yes. And you were in Germany for how long?
I was in Germany for almost 5 years in Hamburg.
And that's why I hadn't seen you for ages.
That's why, I sort of just tapped out of of any sort of scene in Australia for a good 6 years because I was also in London. Yeah, just need to get out of Brisbane, I suppose. You can't stay there for that long,
can you?
You
don't have to go that extreme just to get out of Brisbane. I went to Canberra. but you went to Hamburg.
Hamburg, yeah. I was aiming for Berlin like everyone does.
Oh, right.
But I'm actually happy I didn't land there. I got a job in Hamburg.
Berlin's
so.
a bit Berlin's fun, but it's a little bit boring, isn't it? There are other...
Boring.
Well, not boring, but like...
This guy's, he's traveled all over the world. He's been to the... He's rode a gondola in the Venetian canals.
Too expensive. Didn't do the gondola ride. I stopped off in Hamburg in a Flixbus. That's my only experience.
Oh, yeah,
Hamburg.
They're good. I used to travel with them. They're quite really cheap.
Good. Yeah, one time though, I was going from Munich to Bratislava.
I know, I've been there. Good, isn't it? Surprisingly interesting town.
Well, I missed I was only doing two nights.
Right.
And I missed one night because I was getting a bus at midnight in Munich. And then I'd arrive there at like 8 or something in the morning. But then the bus just didn't come. So I had to wait. I had to stay in the station overnight, just like sleeping rough. And then wait for the next midnight to get the next bus to Bratislava. So, Flixbus.
So you were in a station.
Yeah, yeah.
On the curb.
Yeah.
In Munich.
Yeah.
At least you chose Munich.
Yeah, that's true. It was a bit cold though. It was like December.
What the hell's a Flixbus? What are you guys talking about?
It's like a coach.
It's just a bus. It's like saying Greyhound. It's just a brand.
It sounds like you have your own little.
No, you're
inside
in
talk.
Well, no, you're just not as cultured as us.
Yeah, if you'd been to Europe a bit, you'd know.
I went as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
5 years old.
You didn't get a foot. Yeah, right.
You got to go on a holiday when you were 5 years old to Europe.
You lived in Portsmouth, didn't you?
Yeah, that's true. I lived in England. I lived in Portsmouth when I was in grade one or two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Down south there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
On the coast?
Yeah, it's a port. A Portsmouth.
It's all in the name.
And George is from merry old England. He lived not far from there as well, actually. But
yep, Southampton.
Oh, man.
Do you miss it? Do you guys miss it?
No.
Oh, no way.
Mother country?
That's motherland.
Motherland.
Not really. I feel awkward describing it as a motherland. It all sounds a little bit fascist when you do that, doesn't it? I mean...
Well, it's better than the Vaterland.
Yeah, that's the worst one.
Which is
Germany. Yeah.
Speaking of British people, Tony Abbott.
Oh yeah, he's a Brit.
He is a Brit, and George lives in Mossman.
Mm-hmm.
So his dad was involved in the campaign to get rid of Tony Abbott.
Oh, was he?
Well, he wore a T-shirt that said "Vote Tony out." Does that count?
That's pretty heavily.
He was involved. Did he make the T-shirt, or he just bought it?
He bought it
from so, a.
No, I'm not sure where from. Online somewhere. Maybe Zali Stegel was selling them. I'm not sure, but he went to the polling booth and Tony Abbott was there, and he said that Tony definitely saw my dad wearing the T-shirt. Yeah.
What a hero! Yeah, he had to actually stand face to face.
Yeah, because he went along like shaking everyone's hands in the line. And I don't think he wouldn't have been allowed inside the actual voting. Because you're not allowed to campaign
inside.
No,
there's a certain barrier, zone, isn't there?
Yeah, the line was so long that he was shaking people's hands. Dad just said he looked like a dead man walking.
Oh.
And like a robot. Just like smile, shake hand, move to the next person. He's just been doing that for 30 years, so I guess he knows what's up. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Jen and George, you both have hangovers today.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy, crazy night, right?
Well, for different reasons. Well, you had it because you actually had a fun party to go to.
Yeah, I was at a fun party.
I went to an election party filled with mostly ABC people.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And also my own political opinions, which were fairly clear what outcome I'd wanted.
Yes.
And then it was a classic drowning your sorrows night.
And those ABC people be worried about the jobs and stuff.
Budget,
budget cuts. Man.
Just whether there's still money there.
Yeah, man.
Well, I went to hang out with my dad, and he's a huge Labor guy, and I'm apolitical, of course.
Yeah,
I have a government job.
Never heard you. Like, even a of an opinion.
I don't have opinions on anything, really. And I serve the Prime Minister of the day. I serve at the pleasure of Scott
the
Morrison.
Pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah, at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. I serve Tony Abbott.
Yeah. You served
Malcolm
Turnbull?
Get me an onion. Yeah. I did. I was that guy.
That was you.
Yeah, yeah, nice. I handed him the onion. I said, what are you going to do with it? And he said, you'll see.
Surely you're going to cut it up yeah. And put it in a meal.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Cook it? Are you going to cook that? No. I served Malcolm Turnbull with honor. And before that, Julia Gillard.
Yep.
Oh, but...
Rudd first. Well, Rudd, then Gillard, then Rudd.
Yeah, I served Rudd twice.
Yeah.
I was like, what's it? Oh, he's back. And he said, hello, Alan. And I said, oh, Rudd's back. Here we go. Here we bloody go.
Did you serve John Howard, or that was, you're too young for that?
Before my time. I came in during the Rudd slide.
Right.
I came in
Kevin 07.
Yeah, Kevin 07.
So just after 07.
Yeah, I was in, I think I moved to Canberra in 08. But, so I've seen a great deal of change in this country. And I think everyone was really surprised by the result, right? Because the opinion polls have said, like, what? 52% to Labor
right.
for, like, 3 years, it unchanged. Every week it's the same yeah. poll we're getting.
Is that still within? That's quite still quite slim. Is that within the margin of error or no?
Not. Apparently so. Well, apparently yeah. it is must, within like, yeah. the margin yeah, of error.
A bit of error in that
I think
one.
The margin of error is 50%.
Yeah, as it turns out. Yeah, yeah.
So it's hard, you know, pollsters have to look at themselves.
Well, let's just get – it's just such a waste of energy, these polling, isn't it? Stop yeah. it. Just stop it. No just polling. It. I don't want to see another poll. I mean, I know it's not a new opinion I've got.
Yeah, right. Well,
but
well,
I've never they're heard wrong. Before. Have you not?
I've never heard that opinion from you.
From me, yeah.
Well, they've been wrong so many times since like 2016 because they were wrong with Trump. They were wrong with
Brexit.
Brexit, they were wrong, but it was sort of. So close with Brexit that you can kind of understand. But and this one, it was wrong as well. The quality of pollsters worldwide has diminished since 2015.
Why is that?
Gone down.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking it might have to do with polls cost money and newspaper business is not going well. And so maybe they're just not putting in the effort into the
But it's not the newspapers. Polls. It's like research firms like Ipsos and stuff like that.
Well, back
like,
in the day, right, they used to phone people up on landline telephones.
Isn't that is that not what they do now?
They do that. But they have to get mobiles as well, and they have to. So maybe they're struggling a little bit to get the same sort of consistency they used to get with the sample.
It is strange because I've never once been called, asked in the street, phoned about my opinion on a political election. Who would you vote for? Not once.
It happened to me once, but it was a long time ago.
Is it online surveys they do now? Maybe
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then also you have to, are people giving one answer and then voting another way or something? Like,
well, that's one theory is that, and you could sort of see that maybe with like Trump, that they would, some people would have been ashamed to say that they were voting for Trump, possibly. But then they did as a sort of a protest or something. I'm not sure that would have happened in Australia so much that people would have been ashamed to say that they were...
Maybe ashamed that to say they're voting for Clive Palmer.
Maybe. And then, you know, a lot of those votes...
did he even get that many votes in the end? I didn't see the...
He didn't win any seats.
He didn't win anything, a seat. Yeah. But I think he got it. I think it mattered in Queensland. But, you know, it's like I just can't believe that they didn't get any seats. Like, they didn't win a few seats in Victoria that I thought they might have a chance. I mean, Shorten is from Victoria.
Oh, so, Labor now didn't win.
Yeah,
so I thought they were just going to sweep through Victoria.
Yeah. You know, win some seats in Sydney.
Yeah.
Flip some of them, and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Western Sydney was also had a swing towards Liberal.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Queensland.
So it's crazy. It's very strange. And the other thing is that, you know, when Bob Hawke died.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, everyone's going to. People don't follow politics. They just know that Hawkey could scull a beer and they think, yeah, that's great.
Well, I mean...
I'm going to give my vote to Labor. I thought. It turns out...
Yeah.
You really needed Hawke and Keating and Rudd to die. on the same day.
Not Julie Gillard. No. Not killing her off.
No.
I think that's unfair. I thought she was a good leader.
Gillard should die.
I think she put her in the mix.
Put
as
her
well.
In the mix. She was a great leader, and that's why I want her to live.
No, yeah. But
I support women.
But so
in politics.
Okay. Because you came around, but you knew it was slightly gendered that you didn't kill her off in the first round.
I think Kevin Rudd should die twice.
You don't like Kevin Rudd, or no, you like him a lot?
He was I can't. Two-time prime minister.
Oh yes, yeah.
I think he'd appreciate the irony of that. I think he'd like that a lot.
He loves the shout.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he's one of our listeners.
Well,
so what do you have? Any further comments?
Take on the election.
On election takes? Because we're recording this the day after. It's all,
yeah, true.
It's all pretty raw. Mm. I mean, obviously, I don't have an opinion on it at all.
Opposition leaders. Candidates.
Who's going to be the opposition leader?
Right. I mean, yeah, I have a lot of opinions on it, I suppose.
Too many. Keep them to yourself, I say.
Yeah.
None of them are
interesting. I mean, the problem is, like, you can overanalyze why people voted for the Liberal government, and then you talk to people, and as you said, they're not even engaged.
I have friends in Warringah that voted Liberal.
Your friends, actual friends,
like,
who you'd go
age.
And hang out
yeah,
with,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
you'd say, you'd, and so what's... what?
Well, they're just like,
no, this
oh,
is
no,
interesting.
I don't like Shorten.
Yeah, well,
that's
the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the other thing that's the really annoying one is, like, they're
mind.
All the same anyway. It's
yeah,
like, well,
yeah,
you're just not this so lazy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not all the same.
I think they are all the same, but then I'm apolitical. I think they're all great. I think they're all top shelf.
Yeah.
And I would serve any of them.
The best among us, all of them?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny when Tony Abbott's gone, right? And Penny Wong was on the ABC election coverage.
Mm, she looked like she was having a tough time.
She was having a tough night.
Mm.
And she said, it was just such a weird thing that she said, like, I didn't agree with anything Tony Abbott ever did or believed in, but I want to acknowledge that he was in politics for 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay. You acknowledge that he exists.
Yeah. There was not even a scare of, like, compliment in that.
Like, you could have said he's friendly. Or I don't know. You
but
could have said something
yeah,
about
yeah.
it. Well, I had heard back in the day that he and Gillard were two of the more polite people in the political scene, in dealing with folks who worked on the morning shows and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So if they're meeting, like, the interns and stuff, they were actually kind of friendly and nice, and the
right.
makeup artists and stuff.
Okay.
Whereas Rudd was a little bit aloof, you know, and other characters have just been kind of, they don't really want to talk to people unless they have to.
What was it?
Whereas they were actually genuinely just
yeah.
their personality to try to be friendly and polite to
think
people.
I had the same about John Howard.
Oh,
I think people
enough,
like
yeah.
him as yep. a person.
I'd love
yeah.
to have a beer with Hawkey.
You can't
now.
Anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a shame. It's my biggest regret in life.
You what? Would have been this close. You're just a bit too young.
Almost had a beer
Could
with
to
Hawkey.
Serve under Hawkey.
What was it they said about
serve him a beer?
Kevin Rudd having, like, temper tantrums and stuff like that. Is that what the...
Yeah, he has a bad temper issue.
I'm on Rudd's side on this. Like,
what?
Because...
Mr. Apolitical
yeah,
over here.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he's a top bloke.
I love the man with the anger problem.
Well, he's surrounded by knuckleheads, you know? And
what do you mean by that? Who's that? What does that even mean?
Look, one of the stories that came out was that someone came in to ask him for money for printer toner or something. It was like the more printing paper, a printer toner. And he blew up at them. He's like, why are you coming at me with this fucking shit? Get out of here.
Well, that is so dumb, isn't it? You're going to ask the Prime Minister about the
yeah,
printer toner in your office?
Like, he's like, I got fucking problems here, man. So, you know, that's... And that made the papers. It's like, oh, man, can you believe this? And I was like, yeah, I sort of can believe it.
I can't believe that happened. How do we know that happened? That someone came and asked... Kevin Rudd, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd.
I read it in the Australian newspaper.
So what, one of his
they
posts,
never lie
can you
newspaper.
Please buy printer toner? That's the, is that the allegation?
Yes.
I don't, because.
They came to him. Look, yeah, I've got my sources.
I'm
and
just,
I'm pretty sure.
You work in the government.
They were out of magenta. Yeah. And they came to Kevin Rudd's office.
Straight to the top.
They went straight to the top.
Because it's expensive.
No, like, needed. It was
his wife is very rich, I suppose.
Oh, it is. It is. She is. Very wealthy.
Yeah. She's very wealthy, yeah.
What does she do?
I think she works in giving people jobs. It's like a job.
She's a recruitment.
Well, or training. Oh, some okay. form of training. We could just screw. I mean, this is.
No, this doesn't connect to the internet.
Okay, we can't get it out. So we have no facts.
Well, we've covered this in previous episodes where.
It's a Sega Master System, which isn't plugged into anything.
Our listeners just have to take as gospel everything we say.
Right, okay. Because
we're not going to check another day.
No. So she works. She's self-made, wealthy lady. Right,
okay, cool.
And she loves Bad Boys.
And they're from your neck of the woods, aren't they?
Queensland?
Nambour?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kevin Rudd's from Nambour.
So is Wayne Swan.
Yeah, they went to the same school.
Same school. And did you ever go to that school?
No, I didn't go to
my
that school.
My auntie actually taught at that school while they were there.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Her inside scoop is Wayne Swan was always like very charismatic. Kind of everyone knew. It's like, oh, that kid's going to do well.
Yeah. Mm.
Kevin Rudd, no one remembers. They're like, was he here? Who?
Oh, really?
Yeah, just under the radar. He does look like that guy that's been, I think maybe that's why he won the votes in Queensland in Kevin 07. You can believe he's the guy that's been bullied, you know, yeah. and the yeah. one that's had to come up and, you know, tough it out. Even the anger thing, you're like.
Yeah. Well, they were not friends. They were not friends.
I think they're not quite the same age, aren't they? There's a year apart.
But Swan was a cool kid. I did hear that gossip.
But imagine that, Nambour High. At one point, the Prime Minister and the Treasurer.
That's pretty crazy.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Or is it Nambour High? Am I getting this high school right?
Yeah, I think so.
Talking of printer-related Prime Minister anger,
right.
Didn't Gordon Brown throw a printer at someone in Number 10, famously?
You're going to have to explain to the listeners who Gordon Brown is.
Also, the Prime Minister of the UK for about 10 seconds, 10 years ago. Well, he was the treasurer. It was the treasurer for, or the Chancellor of the Exchequer for like 10 years in the noughties. But he threw a printer at someone. I'm sure we can't check because I can't look. But I'm pretty sure.
We've got to start researching before we.
I'm just racking my brain now for any more printer related.
Yeah. I bet you weren't expecting me to link those two stories together, hey? I have another Prime Minister printer anger story. How crazy is that? Like, I couldn't believe it when you said printer. I was like, I had it locked and loaded, ready to go for the past like 7.5 minutes. Yeah.
let's get some real facts. Let's talk about the issues, Jen.
Okay. Yes.
You
franking credits. What are they? I still don't know.
Enough with you. Actually, we can talk about that later. Okay. We'll talk about franking credits in our
have you
private
done,
time.
Okay, no, you haven't covered it on the podcast yet.
Yeah, we've covered it on previous episodes, franking credits. Jen, and I hope you will give the podcast a listen.
Oh, you mean previous episodes?
Oh, yeah. Or this episode, or any episode, really. We need the
listen. What's the best? Has there been a best pod?
This episode is so far the best, I would say. I don't think our listeners are interested in politics, but gosh darn it, I am.
Are they right? Yeah. Do they write in to tell you what they're interested in?
We should ask what they...
Well, I wonder what will happen if we ask on the podcast for listeners to message the Facebook page. Yeah. But I'm scared to do that in case we get no messages.
And then
it's revealed that no one cares.
People care. Oh, really? People want to be on this podcast.
That's true.
He begged me to come.
Did he?
No. I'm not too proud to beg for guests on the podcast. Actually, could Josh Thomas?
Yeah, this is it. I'm just here.
You were waiting for it, were you? Could we just get him? Just a sneaky little Instagram story. Hey, my best friend Jan, she was on this cool podcast.
Well, I mean, we can see.
It'd be cool
that's
to
a
go
pretty
from
crazy demand, isn't it?
It'd
that's
be pretty cool
demand.
To like suddenly have a million listens.
I don't think that he would. I don't think he'd be able to give you a million.
No,
I don't think so.
I
think
understand
you're
how fame works.
We certainly don't understand, looking at the numbers.
No, we're doing pretty good. We're a startup.
Right. But, so you know how many people, you can get stats on that, can you?
Oh, yeah. George has all the stats.
I have a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and I graph. There's a little bit.
What sort of graph?
I do, I do columns, and then I have a trend line.
Okay.
At the moment, we're trending up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be trending, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we always talk about my Excel spreadsheet. Nearly every episode we're talking about my Excel spreadsheet. I feel it's too inside baseball. Anyway.
I suppose it's because if you don't know about podcasts, it is interesting to know if you can see who's watching and whether they stay with you for the whole episode.
Yeah, you can
see. Because I think most of the time I'd just be like,
you can
stop
see
listening people halfway through.
Yeah. I think it's quite rare for people to listen through an entire episode of a podcast.
Rare.
Yeah. Because I don't do it, but I do listen to lots of podcasts, but I always get bored like halfway through.
Well, yeah, you're just listening to someone's conversation.
Right, yeah.
And you can't even put your own opinion forward. It's hell.
Yeah.
So that's what you want. You just want to be heard, right?
You want to be part of the...
You just want to be part of it.
Yeah.
The conversation. I just want to be heard. I've got opinions. I've got ideas.
Well, and I want to hear them. I think the listeners want to hear. Because you studied environmental science, is that right?
Not quite. I studied environmental engineering.
Oh, yeah.
Similar, though.
Okay.
And then in Hamburg, I did a PhD in, I don't know what you'd like, sustainability strategy, more business.
Music to my ears. Because, and more important than ever that we talk about this issue,
right.
Because, I mean, are we doomed?
I mean, I didn't wake up feeling great today. I mean,
do you think it makes it, do you think this country, like, do you think the issue, because it's a global issue, right? Is that the problem?
Climate change and waste, environmental issues, they're global issues. That's part of the challenge.
You've got democracies all over the world.
Yes.
And in some cases, not democracies. And they're not sort of everyone has to do their part, right? So
yeah.
So does it matter what this country does?
Well, obviously we're not like a key player in the world, are we?
Yeah.
I mean, but in this election, you kind of got that sense that we were the sort of electorate decided to remain in that safe space of what we knew and then tapped out of the 21st century and just said, oh, well, we're not going to bother.
Yeah.
We won't. We're not.
What's so crazy is that everyone believes in climate change, except for Tony Abbott or whoever.
Yeah.
And Mossman, the people spoke and Mossman got rid of him. But everyone agrees that climate change is real, but then no one agrees on what has to be done politically. The carbon tax was very unpopular.
Yeah.
You know, so... People say, yeah, absolutely, I agree something has to happen on climate change. And then you propose something like a carbon tax and they say, well, that's expensive.
Yeah.
So people aren't actually willing to sacrifice anything for...
Well, actually, I think this is part of this whole idea, in a way it is true and it's been how it's been positioned in the past, where if you do something on climate or environmental is kind of a trade-off with the economy.
Mm.
Yeah,
and that's been the success of Tony Abbott's anti-climate change campaign, and perhaps you could say was one of the things that won them the election. Where the electorate, even if they believe in climate change, they see it as acting on it as a trade-off.
Yeah,
of money, it costs money to act.
Yeah,
which kind of isn't the case anymore, and Labor and the left need to get better at creating a new story, I think, if we're going to actually transition to a zero carbon economy.
Yeah.
It is about what are the economic, how we reposition. I mean, even that, so Bob Brown had his big convoy up to Adani.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, I don't get, politically, I don't get what that was about. Like, that could have been those two. You're supposed to go there and head into rural Queensland, yell at them about Adani, and then expect them to vote left?
I didn't hear much about this. So what did they do? Was it a convoy up from Melbourne, was it?
Yeah, so you bring all these people down from the southern states and you go to rural Queensland where they don't have, you know, their jobs are in mining. I mean, this is actual jobs, high paying jobs for them. And say, I'm anti Adani. The interesting thing is there's a bunch of coal mines that's been approved in Queensland at the moment. Like they've got government approval to go ahead. But they're not going ahead because they can't get investment. So banks are moving away. Like where the world economy is shifting away from coal and we're still having these debates even, and the Greens are fueling it around specific mines and it's overall unhelpful and potentially doing an unintended consequence of shifting votes to the left because it keeps perpetuating this idea that we have to have this economic trade-off to deal with climate change.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, there's obviously a huge economic impact of climate change in terms of disasters. But the other thing is, I mean, last week I was at a large-scale solar conference in Brisbane and it was just packed full of just conservative engineers because it's just cheaper. We won't see another coal-fired power station being built in Australia because climate change. So there's banks that tuned into that, but also it's just more expensive.
Yeah. I mean, surely it makes economic sense to use solar panels in Australia, you know, right? Because the setup costs are less than, I mean, I know when they first were kind of, they were trying to roll them out, weren't they? Solar panels.
You used to have like feed-in tariffs. Yeah, is that what you mean? Or?
Well, didn't they? First they tried to do the thing where you have them on your house, didn't they? And you got
feed-in tariff. Yeah.
Yeah,
it meant that you'd use solar you'd put it back into the grid, you got an additional amount of money that was designated by the state government.
Yeah.
And that encouraged you. So it made the business case for you, like the payback period for an individual to have solar panels on their roof, shorter.
So what was the argument against that made them get rid of it? So what were they like? Because what could possibly be the negatives of having that policy? Was it just expense?
Expense, yeah. So that's literally at some point.
Okay,
but it's okay. I mean, it was what the justification would be that's needed at the beginning for new technology.
Yeah.
But you actually, especially in places like Queensland. And maybe down here, I don't know. Yeah, but you don't need it. You actually don't need it anymore. You can get solar. I mean, it depends. There's a few things, a few variables, and some issues with some of the inverters that they break apparently. But if you've got a good quality one, even without a subsidy on it now, it will pay itself back.
Oh, okay.
So the barrier for people not going solar is, you know, renting. So you don't really have you're not allowed to put the panels on, or you're paying the electricity bill so that the landlord doesn't really care how to make efficient energy, or if you don't have the capital cost. So it's just people who can't get, like, if you're poor and you're like in a reactor state, you just don't have that 10 grand or whatever it is to put solar panels on. But otherwise it would make sense, especially if you start thinking about like electric vehicles and time when you use, we're going to be shifting the solar power is not just solar, but renewable energy in general is the easy part. Like we don't even need the government in Australia have been so slow and have put very little leadership, the Liberal government.
Yeah.
And even in, you could argue, sabotage some parts of the industry. But
let's not point the finger.
Yeah.
I think the blokes in Canberra are doing and ladies. Are doing a bloody good job, and I tip my hat to them. And but you know, in my workplace
at Parliament House, so those not the civil,
I work in the public service, and in my office, every time I say the public service, the IT guy who sits near me goes, "Oh, you mean the public circus."
Oh, good one. That's good.
He said,
"Do you high five?"
He is winding me up.
Oh, really?
I'm sick of hearing him say that.
Because you don't think it's true.
Because it wasn't funny the first time you said it, mate. He says it every day.
Public circus.
He said, "Oh, did you mean the public circus?" No, I didn't mean that. I just said public service. Oh, you know, the thing about the public circus Yeah. Is they all wear big floppy shoes.
Did you say
that? He tells me this, yeah. And red noses. I get it. I get what you're trying to say.
So he keeps going further.
He just keeps going with it.
And then, yeah. Does he always do the floppy shoes or that part would change? He'll choose like the lion. They'll have a...
No, nothing ever changes. Always the floppy shoes.
This bit...
the red nose.
This bit would be really funny if his whole aim is to just annoy you. You
exactly.
I mean? If
exactly.
the whole point of it was to annoy you, then he's killing
it. you sit next to him in a open plan office?
It's open plan, yeah. I got my headphones in most of the day just to avoid...
The circus.
The public service. Yeah. it is a circus. But you know what has no carbon emissions?
Go on.
Is nuclear power.
Oh, yeah. This is good.
So,
I didn't expect to be talking
I'm sorry
about
to put
nuclear.
You on the spot, but would you be in favor of... Have we reached the tipping point? We've got to do something about the carbon emissions.
Mm.
Is nuclear an option? And then what do we do with the toxic waste?
Mm.
Do we put it in a rocket and shoot it into the sun?
That's a good idea.
Genevieve Mortimer.
I don't know enough about... I don't think this shooting into the sun is... My gut feeling is no.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, nuclear is a funny one because, yeah, it is. That's not funny, but
it's pretty funny. We could bury it in the desert, you know, all that waste, right?
In the mines when we cover them up.
Yes. Yeah, we could bury it in Adani.
It feels good to solve issues, you know what I mean? To just solve stuff, just like that.
Well, yeah. I remember I watched a documentary and the guy, I don't know whether he has any support, but he's an environmentalist guy, and he thought that the only option now, the only viable option, it was a few years ago that
yeah,
I watched this
who
doco.
Was, do you remember the name
I
of the guy?
I don't remember the fellow.
He's quite famous. I think he did. I can't, because there was a few, it's the same guy.
Probably.
He basically spelled out how we need to shift to a, you know, a more low carbon, environmentally friendly, less waste world and why that's needed. And I think he positioned that and was anti-nuclear for quite a while and then shifted. There's one guy that famously shifted because it's basically like we're not going to get there without it.
Yeah. We need it's the band-aid solution we need.
I don't know if we do need it in Australia though.
Probably
I mean
not
there's
in
not yeah, there's I don't actually I just don't think we do need it here because
we've got the solar panels.
Well, I mean there's problems with that. So nuclear provides base load power. Right.
Of course. You don't have to tell me and George that. But yeah, please explain for the listeners what base load is.
Well, I mean, so if you have a wind, you only get like if unless you have some sort of storage capacity, you only get any like there's only energy when the wind's blowing or the sun's shining.
It's about storing the energy.
Well, whereas a coal-fired power plant or a nuclear, you just have running the whole night, like you just have it continue to go and you can calculate exactly how much you're going to get it at any time because you're creating those inputs and you're manipulating the variables. Whereas with wind and solar, the variable is wind, which you don't have
control over.
Right. If it's cloudy, this is pretty naive, but does that actually affect solar power?
Yeah.
It does. Mm. Because when I'm out on a cloudy day, I might still get sunburn.
Yeah, no, you'll still get some. It's not that there's nothing, but it just affects it.
Right.
Anyway, you should slip, slop,
so
slap
is
what I'm saying.
Don't forget to slip, slop, slap, yeah. Good message.
On a cloudy day, but even slip, slop, slapping, you will get a couple more minutes before you get burnt on a cloudy day, won't you?
Do the UV
it's like the UVs are slightly
the UV just
know.
Goes through
the
cloud. The
UVB
I think.
Does, but I think some of I don't UVB. Think it's all going through. I think it still captures some of it.
Right.
In fact, I'm pretty confident about that. But I think you can, but you can still get burnt. Yeah.
Someone was telling me you could put all these solar panels in the desert.
Go on.
Because Australia, I've been all over this great land, and in the middle of Australia, there's not much going on. I've been to Cooper Pedy. But besides that, there's not much going on in the
Why were you in
bank.
Cooper Pedy?
Opals. I was an opal miner.
Were you?
Well, I visited and bought an opal. But they're
cheaper than you think, aren't they?
They are. They really are. We met a man in Coober Pedy who was, and we said, "Why'd you move here?" And he said, "I was young and foolish." So he said to me.
Oh, geez, that's so depressing, isn't it?
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, there's no opals there anymore.
Oh, really?
So they've mined all the opals. There's not that many left. And so
is Coober Pedy, where is it?
It's smack bang in the middle of Australia.
And really. That was only
it's
opals.
Sort of in South Australia.
So it wasn't
top
gold.
Of South Australia.
Okay, yeah. All right. Anyway, sorry, you're there.
Yeah. The point is, get rid of that dump and replace it with solar panels, right? And put the place to some good use. And
so even though there's literally hundreds of thousands of acres of empty space around this town, you want to get rid of the town and put a solar farm there.
Yeah, just to free these people who are sort of stuck there.
Oh, you're doing it for the people. Okay.
Bulldoze their places. No, I just get them to move on, you know.
It's like that guy that's stuck there, he's now has to move. And then you're expecting him to originally be a bit upset about it, but then come back to you and thank you.
They filmed Mad Max 3 there.
But he can feel safe in the knowledge that we're making the world a better place through the use of solar power, so he won't mind.
But here's the issue.
Yeah.
You build all these solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
You've still got to then you lose quite a bit of energy, right, in trying to
get
to the big smoke, to the cities on the coast.
Yeah, I think transition through a copper wire, I think it's pretty efficient, actually. You lose a bit, you know, in the distance, but it's actually not a bad way to do it. But I don't know enough about the net. I think the actual setting up the network to have one major for – it's also, there's a risk, isn't there, if we put it all, you want to decentralize where your energy's coming from for security risk as well.
You don't want one cloud to shut down the whole of Australia, do you?
Exactly.
That's the problem.
That's good.
There's never been a cloud in Coober Pedy.
My bad. Should have known that.
I wouldn't know what a cloud is there.
Guys, it's been 42 minutes.
Oh, what?
It's been a fantastic episode.
I think so.
I think this is a two-parter.
This is it.
Let's just keep going. 80-minute episode.
Can't you just cut half of that out? The other stuff.
What? No.
I mean,
we can cut out the bits where George was boring everybody. But I think Jen has been a fabulous guest.
Thanks.
I think so as well.
I've been good. Yeah,
it's been good fun.
All right.
It's really good to have somebody smart on the show.
Yeah, all this, the base load stuff.
I'm a sapiosexual.
Mm-hmm. What?
And so I'm attracted to intelligence.
Right.
And
is that what that means?
Oh yeah. I thought you would know what that means,
yeah,
given
right.
how
not
intelligent
smart,
you
not
are.
Smart enough
so
to...
that's a worry.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic to have smart people on the show.
We usually have comedians.
We don't know. I'm not smart. George does, you know.
No, I'm not smart.
He knows about Gordon Brown.
Sprinters.
And printers.
Yeah.
Printer incidents.
Various printer incidents across,
that's not
across
helpful.
History. Yeah.
Did you think Gordon Brown was a good prime minister?
Oh, you've just opened up a can of worms. All right, it's part two of the Genevieve podcast.
All right, should we say goodbye?
This is a great time to say goodbye, and thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me, yeah.